Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender.
Yeah. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender. Right, so we're talking about his father-in-law. His father-in-law, his name was Avraham Schwartz. And since, because we mentioned that he got married, Rav Levi Yitzchak, so let's speak about it, about Avraham. Avraham became close through, who was a famous story, through Rav Pinchas of Kivlitz. Rav Pinchas of Kivlitz was a big Yirei Shamayim, and he made a lot of people in Kivlitz. He made them the best of the Hasidim.
Now, is this in Ukraine?
Yes, Kivlitz is near Uman. And he made many people Breslau Chassidim. Many people came Breslau Chassidim through him. He used to teach kids cheder. He had a cheder. Kids used to come and learn by him, and he brought a lot of Yirei Shamayim. How did this Rav Pinchas become Breslau? This teacher, the children, he would always used to serve Hashem with all of his might to learn Torah day and night. Kedusha and Tahara, Mamash, Terev Hashem. He never heard of Breslau Chassidim until he got married. When he got married, he moved to where his father-in-law lived, which was in Uman. That was the miracle. And his father-in-law told him, just one thing, don't get close to the Breslau Shtibo. Asur to go to Breslau, it's dangerous. Because we don't go by their way. They have weird cheetahs. We can't go to Breslau.
No, this is Rav
Pinchas.
Rav Pinchas' father-in-law.
No. Rav Pinchas' father-in-law told him not to go to Breslau. Yeah.
Right. Father-in-law told him not to go to Breslau.
Yeah. He lived in Breslau.
So this was, what,
I don't know.
20 years, 30 years before?
Yeah. Yeah, in the late 1800s, yeah. And, but Rav Pinchas, he was Oved Hashem with all his might. He said, I don't know, I want to see what it is. If it's not good, it's not good. If it's good, I want it. Right? So, of course, he went in there. When he tells a person not to look, he looks. Right? Obviously, everyone knows that. I guess his follower did not know that. He went in to smell what's going on over there. Right? And immediately, when he went in there, he met Rav Nachman Turchina. Right? The Talmid of Rav Nosson, and he met his son, Rav Avraham of Nachman. And Rav Avraham of Nachman realized this guy is something special. We can chap him, chap arayim, get him into Breslau, it's good. And immediately he took him into a room and learned to him a certain Torah, Likutei Moharan. Right away he became a Breslau. Took a few days. But.
Didn't say which Torah.
No. He had to leave Uman because of that, because his father was very upset of him, and he had a lot of problems. So he went to Kivlitz. In Kivlitz, he didn't say that he's a Breslau. He didn't say Breslau. He saw that it's a problem. He said, I'll be a Breslau without saying I'm Breslau. And I also teach Breslau without it. Well, he said, I teach kids. So everyone sent his children. Everyone saw that. He had Yirei Shamayim, and he used to teach them, and everyone loved him. The whole city loved his famous story. They didn't know that everything he's teaching the kids is Torah of Rabbeinu. They didn't know that. Because if they would have known, of course he will get fired immediately.
So he didn't say Breslau at all?
No, he didn't say Rabbi Nachman. He said, well, he just said everything that says that Breslau say. He said about the Kudot Tovot, about Yitbodedut. He didn't say Yitbodedut. He said, and you have to talk with Hashem, and everyone has to do Tshuva every day, and let's daven with fire, with a bread. He spoke Breslau, but he didn't say the word Breslau. He didn't say Rabbi Nachman, he didn't say anything like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He always wanted to say where it's from, but his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman Turchina, told him, shh, it's not the time.
No.
One day...
How much contact did he have with... Was it Rabbi
Nachman Turchina?
Right.
It was close with him. It's close. The two cities, very close to each other. So one day, Rabbi Nachman Turchina told him, now, you have to say that you're blessed. It's the time. So that's what he did. He told his kids, listen, my beloved children, I must tell you, right, you're so excited about everything learning. You should know that everything I taught you is from Rabbi Nachman of Breslau. So the kids went home and told, you know where we know this? why?
Problems.
And, yeah, caused problems to So they didn't want to send their kids there and all things. One of the parents decided to get rid of him. What are we going to do? He hired the butcher. The butcher was not a nice guy. In very calm words. He told him, listen, go into the breast of Shul and Sudah Shlishit of Shabbos, or go into the Shul, whatever, and kill him. Fine. So he goes in there and he hears the talks that they're talking over there, and he became a blessed of a chassid. He did tshuva. The true story. He did tshuva himself. And from then on, he became so one of the people that got close to blessed to him was the Baron of Kivrich, who was the father-in-law of Levi Yitzchak. So Levi Yitzchak talks about Rabbaron. Rabbaron of Breslev, Rabbaron of Kivrich, the father-in-law of Levi Yitzchak, his father's name was Rabbi Isaac, and he wasn't a Breslev. Yeah, it wasn't a Breslev. His son, Rabbi Aaron, became Breslev. Rabbi Aaron was very hidden. No one knew how holy he was, how big tzaddik he is. Rabbi Yitzchak, he sensed it. So he became very close to him, and he had a lot of stories. He used to say in Yiddish, "Mein Schwer is given a grois to Oved Hashem." My father-in-law was a big Oved Hashem. Every time he used to mention his father-in-law, he'd say, "My father-in-law was a big Oved Hashem." Immediately after davening, his father-in-law used to come home, davening early nights, yeah, or late in the winter in Ukraine, it's at 8:30 or something in the night. And he used to take in his bag the Shaarei Tzion, which is the tefillahs, all kinds of tefillahs. I have the book also at home. And he used to take Sefer Zohar Kadosh, and a little Shulchan Aruch, and Likutei Tefillot, and a few books, like in a basket. And he used to go out to the field. The whole day he was there, doing buzzes for many, many hours, and sit and learn. Sometimes it was a whole day. And a day in the summer in Ukraine, it could be 17 hours. From the morning until the night. He used to be in the field. 18 hours. He used to serve Hashem like one of the Rishonim. All day serve Hashem. Nothing. Didn't know anything.
His father-in-law.
Yeah, when he became Breslev. So Levi Yitzchak was there, right? And he saw how his father-in-law says, he slept in the house sometimes. He saw his father-in-law says, Kirashma Alamita. Nusachari, crying. He took him, sometimes Kirashma took him for a whole hour. Kirashma Alamita. And more. He used to always try to hide them. And he was successful. No one knew around him who he was. But the main thing that Rav Aaron was special in, was the trait of Simcha. He was always the Simcha. Even in the worst situation. And they had many bad situations in those times. Many bad situations. There were pogroms later, and there was before, and there was the wars, all kinds of things. And the Paritzim were able to do whatever they want with the Jews. It was a very bad situation. But he was happiness. Rabbi Yitzchak would say, "Mein Shver is given a shtik simcha." He's just, he is simcha. He's a piece of simcha. That's what he was. Right? Anyone who spoke to him, even a short conversation, became always full of simcha. And he used to always sing nigunim that he made up. He made the songs. He used to sing all the time, happiness. And he used to, it came from a person with many, many hours in the field, just talking to Hashem and learning, just alone, just him and his Creator. So then all these nigunim came to him, singing. He was very happy in his portion. He was very, very poor. He was poor more than any other person in the city. He's the poorest person, the happiest person. Nothing was able to take away his happiness. So I'm literally going to say, the same way you couldn't find anyone more poor than him, you couldn't find anyone more happy than him. As much as his boy was the happiest person in the area. Right? The kids asking for bread, and just there's a big smile on their father's face, happiness comforts them for a while until they get something for them. We don't understand what this poorness is, yeah? In these days, poor, even someone's very poor, there's something to eat always. Most people don't starve. In those days, people starve. People die from hunger. Rav Levitz used to say that even his Rebbe, the Rambam of Nachman, and when he was the highest, used to go to his father-in-law to get receive simcha from him. Simcha received from Rav Avin. And he loved Rav Avin very much because he was always with simcha. The floor, of course, in the house was made out of
dirt.
Right, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh used to go get some clean dirt and cover the old dirt. So the Kavod Shabbos, they clean the floors. The Baalan at the end of his days said, I went through the whole world, I went through the life through without a winter coat and without a bed. That was his whole life, basically. Nothing to do with this one little. I didn't know he went through life. Skipped over the world.
He didn't have a winter coat, and what else did he not have?
In the Ukraine, not to have a winter coat is very bad. I also didn't have a winter coat for a while, but in Yerushalayim, it's not so bad. You wear two layers, and you're fine. No, how cold does it get here? But in the Ukraine, it gets pretty cold. It goes Fahrenheit below zero Fahrenheit. It's very cold. Zero Fahrenheit, below zero, it gets very, very cold. And you have no winter coat, no bed.
And no bed?
No bed. Slept in a mattress somewhere. This soon will be a great story later, not today, next week, when they drafted him to the army, and the Caesar said that everyone could go home after a while, but him, they didn't want to let him go, because he used to make everyone joyful, so that it was good for the army. They didn't want to let him go. The whole story, his happiness caused the problem.